ENYA is a not-for-profit organisation established in 2003 to create Australia's future enterprise leaders with a focus on innovative businesses. ENYA provides access to funding, mentoring and education for entrepreneurs Australia-wide.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Lisa Marie and I'm here with someone that I know very well. We've shared an office together for the last year, so I've seen her day to day and she's a person that I admire both in business and as a general roller skating New Zealand chick. So
it's
welcome.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Lisa.
Welcome, Christy from Plan. So firstly, what's Plan? Tell us a little bit about Plan.
So Plan is an Instagram strategy, scheduling and analytics tool. And the goal is to help people create their own financial freedom with social media. I saw this massive gap in the market that people really didn't understand how to market themselves. And I just wanted to put my brain in a software product and decided to put that out into the world.
So how did you get there? Let's go back to, say, when you were in high school, for example, mm-hmm. and I know you're in the corporate world, so I suppose I'd like to hear about and share a little bit about that journey from high school to the corporate world, and then how did you get into starting a tech startup of
all
things?
I know, crazy. So I grew up in New Zealand, a very, very small town with 100,000 people with two entrepreneurial parents, both with their own businesses, and they worked so hard that I ended up at boarding school. So that they could focus on their business. But when I was home, it was, you know, can you help me with the books? Can you help me in the business? So being around people that are entrepreneurial really changes the way that I think you look at the world, that you get your own kind of, you're able to make your own life. And it's kind of like a choose your own adventure book. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did that was entrepreneurial, I had a school next door. So I stole all the grapefruit out of the tree and then would sell it outside my front of my house. And I would have been like 10, but it was awesome. It was like making my own money.
It's so funny because I find like my business partner, Lauren, for example, had a dog walking business when she was mm-hmm. 8, and I had something similar. And I feel like a lot of people who are in business now are always like doing a little bit here and a little bit there from a very early age.
So I am highly creative, but I'm also really analytical. So I did learn through time and self-awareness that that's actually quite a special trait to be able to do both the numbers and the creation. So I decided to move to Sydney when I was about 21 because for opportunity and money. I won't lie. Like, I was like, oh, you know, there's a lot more money and opportunity in Sydney. So I popped over and ended up working in finance because I couldn't find a job. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. So it did help feed the analytical and it's really helped with my marketing and the business skills that I have now. But what happened is that I through 10 years of working in marketing and agency and all sorts, I'd always had my own work on the side. So I freelance illustrate, I paint, I draw, I make people's websites, I do the SEO, I do copywriting. Like, I was that creative person. You wanted a website built, you wanted your wedding style, like I was your girl.
How did you learn that? Did you go to university and study, or is this all self-taught?
All self-taught. Like, the internet's a wonderful thing. Pinterest. I could Pinterest myself to sleep every night. But there's anything you want to learn. I just didn't feel like going, for me personally, this is such a personal thing, but going to university for me was, I don't need to be taught how to take direction. I need to be taught how to think creatively and outside. And that's what I thrive in. And I knew that that's where my superpowers were. So I wanted to explore that. And I would illustrate and paint. And then when I was in corporate, so at NRMA Insurance here in Australia, mm-hmm. I was flooding the TVs with TV commercials and crisis management and the sports sponsorships. But I felt like the higher I climbed in the corporate ladder, the more removed from the creative process I became. So I'd go home and I'd paint and draw and stick it on Instagram. And then, you know how like every story has that really like low, and it's that big changing like crescendo?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I woke up one day with the flu, but it didn't feel like the flu. It just like, I felt like I was in like a video game. And what had happened after brain scans later, I'd got a strain of the flu that went into my brain and destroyed my entire vestibular function. So that's your balance, that's your vision, that's your walking, your spatial awareness. So I couldn't actually work because you can't be on set with something like that.
Understandably,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
That's life-changing, something like that.
Yeah, and the doctors told me, Christy, you'll never recover. You're going to need a carer. I just got married. I was playing semi-professional like field hockey and I'm like, this can't be my life. Like, really? Like, I'm this crazy high achiever that's super creative and high energy and you're going to tell me that I'm going to be confined to a bedroom for the rest of my life? Like, no.
Yeah, you couldn't. I know you and I can imagine you were like, this is not going to happen.
No, just absolute devastation. And it took me, when they said that I'd never recover, I'd said to my husband and Tim, who's highly supportive of everything I've ever done, and said, look, I think I'm just going to stay at home and just get better. And he was like, I think that you should do that too. So my mental health had taken a massive toll by this point. Mm-hmm. So I stayed at home, and the only thing I could do was lie on the floor in my house because my body just couldn't work out in space where it was. But if you lie on the floor, it'd be like, okay, you're okay. And draw and paint and put it on Instagram again. So I kind of picked up that again. Right. And then soon enough, I started making more money doing that than I was in my corporate job.
So what were you doing? You were selling your
my
work
artwork on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, like Instagram was taking off. And there's
this is a true
massive,
entrepreneur.
Yeah, like massive opportunity. Massive opportunity. It was taking, like, it's just huge. It was growing so fast. It was the highest organic reach. No one had seen anything like it. And even if you're late to the game, you could still get on organic reach without having to pay. And I was like, all right. Amazing. So my friends started to ask me, like, what are you doing? How are you doing that? I was like, well, I'm just telling a story. And
that was the inception of Plan. Is this where we're getting to?
This is where we're getting to. So I'm posting my work on Instagram. People are saying, like, how are you doing it? I'm like, well, Instagram's all about the gallery. It's all about the grid and telling a story. So what if you could upload your images and be able to brand them with filters and proper white space and understand like how the grid works, but then be able to drag and drop and visually design to tell your brand story? And then I started doing the research and it didn't exist. I'm like, well, this is a great idea. Someone's going to make it. And why can't that be me? And it kind of hung around for about 4 months. And it woke me up one day and I had my very first panic attack walking through St. Peter's of Kensington buying a wine decanter. And I was like, I have my idea. I'm going to do it. And I turned to my husband and say, I'm going to build an app. And he goes, don't you think you need to know how to build an app? I'm like, nah, there's 2 million. Can't be that hard.
You're amazing, girl. But it is hard, right?
Oh, my God. If I had my time again, I probably wouldn't be here.
I see, I mean, you see me and I see you and we're both non-technical people and we both have tech companies and it's really, really hard at times. And I know that a lot of your team is remote and we tried remote at the start for Glamazon. I know we tried remote and we struggled.
Yeah, it's tricky.
So we had to bring everything in-house and you're still working remotely. And I know you bring your team together in Bali for holidays together and they come from India and all over the world and it's amazing. What's your secret?
I have to admit, I love my personal space and I respect how everyone likes to work. So what happens when you come to work at Plan is that you get asked, what are the hours that your body works to? Right? Wow. So I start work at 5 a.m. and I work through and then I won't work from like 3 or 5. I'm useless. I'm abysmal. I've got no motivation whatsoever. But then I pick up again about 6 till 10. So everyone gets asked, like, what does your body do? If you need to understand that. And then you kind of, you're introduced to the team and you understand how all the different cultures fit together. So you are right. I have a team of over 30 in 9 countries. And they come from all walks of life, from Jamaica, America, Philippines, New Zealand, Australia, like France, everywhere. And if you don't understand them as people, then you can't work together. So that's why I think it's really important that I'm happy when I see people chatting and telling jokes. We've got meme channels and Slack, like everyone's just telling, like making friends. So it's kind of, sometimes it's frowned upon, but I have made a family out of my team. And you've heard us chat, like,
yeah.
We're inappropriate, we tell jokes, like we're throwing food at each other. It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. And if you don't follow Christy on Instagram, you should, because there's some great content up there. I do see it and I get it and we've done it too, but I feel like when your employees are happy and they're in a really happy environment and they're happy with their life and their time, they give you the best anyway.
Agreed.
So
you just make sure they've got the tools to do their job the best.
Yes.
And that they understand that everyone is serving a greater purpose. So if you think about your users and your people, so, for example, we're talking about developers, like how hard it can be. So it was part of my mission as onboarding that everyone actually goes through Instagram. So my platform is about Instagram. So everyone has to go through Instagram strategy training. So I literally will teach. I've got online videos that they have to know why people use a product, why it's beneficial. They read the testimonials and understand the greater purpose that we have. And I think something else that's been you can't teach is attitude. So I'm really careful, and I think as a CEO and founder, it's something that you never really stop doing is hiring and finding good talent. So they have to have the specific, you know, a jovial, there has to be a slight playfulness to the Plan people because the brand is so human and like my brand's really funny and really quirky. And if you can't relate to it, then you kind of don't fit in the team either. So everyone embodies this vision, But it comes down to like selection of staff and then attitudes and how everyone works together. And there is a level of emotional intelligence. And we all have days that, like, if someone says, look, I'm having a mental health day, I'm like, go for it. So yeah. It's just about understanding your team as humans rather than workhorse.
Yeah, you are quite flexible with your people. And yes. I admire that about you. And what happens, most of the time we like to hire the right people and we think we're hiring the right people. And what happens if a bad egg slips through the cracks?
And it can happen. Like, for example, one of my favorite now, because I'd made quite a few bad hires, and then the difficulty of letting them go as humans, because you start to get attached to these people that are helping you and you see them all day, it's really difficult. And my first few hires, it took me like 5 months to let them go.
I've been there. Yeah. We've done the same thing. Yeah. Wasted a lot of money.
A lot of money. And then it came, because my company's bootstrapped, it came straight out of my mortgage. So it's like, okay, I can't pay you out of my mortgage to be my friend. So you kind of get past that and think, okay, so how can I change? I'm very solution focused. So how can I change my hiring? So then you think about it, okay, so how can I find out their thinking and their thought process? So, for example, in marketing, I would say, all right, pretend I'm making a brand new website and I need testimonials. How would you go about finding them? Who are the best people and how would you find them? And that's now a question that anyone in marketing gets asked.
Right. So you're safeguarding yourself and you're learning as well, I guess, as time goes on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Falling forwards.
And let's talk about bootstrapping, because we're funded. I have one business that I've bootstrapped and one business that's funded, and both have their own struggles. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing for a tech company to be bootstrapped. And I think you're probably one of the very, very few that are.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that. Has it been hard? Has there been low moments? Have you thought you weren't going to make it?
Oh, I'm a crazy, crazy optimist. So I never thought I was never going to make it, because I think that when you throw yourself in, you're like, okay, this is it. This is going to work. And you understand that there is a 96 to 97% fail rate, but you're never that one, right? You're never part of that percentage.
Never.
And I truly, truly in my gut, in my body and everything was like, that's not going to be me. So I threw everything I had at it and I had to say to my friends, hey guys, like, I've got these massive goals and I'm probably going to disappear for a bit, but can you just love me? Can you just support me? Because I'm going to be crazy. They've been really good. It did affect my mental health, I'm not going to lie. It came out like blindsided me, having panic attacks about the level of stress that I put my body under. And as a high achiever, it completely came out of like left field. But the challenges with bootstrapping a tech company is that, especially in a high growth, so I'm considered a viral high growth startup. So anything over 5% month on month, and we're like 25.
Wow.
So we're like way above viral stats. We actually, our operations couldn't keep up with the amount of people coming in. So I couldn't hire fast enough. I couldn't make enough money to hire the staff that I needed, all the platforms or the tech behind it. Like, for example, we have about 1 million people visit our website every month, right? I can't afford the pop-up chat because I can't afford the team. And then the service itself is $10,000 US a month. Like, it's just not possible in a bootstrap startup. So you just have to make do with what you have, I think. Yeah, there are some definite challenges.
I think it's definitely a way of thinking, because with my bootstrap business, I cared about every cent because it was my own money.
Yeah.
And then with a funded company, although you still care about the money, I feel like with investors, they're always pushing you to spend. Mm. And it's just a different mindset.
So different.
Yeah, completely
Especially
different.
When it's your own individual money. Like you need the ROI of every dollar spent. So on my website, I'm like, what's the CAC per channel? What's that? And sorry, cost per acquisition per every marketing channel. Like I know that off the top of my head. So that like, it's what I'm obsessed with, because if I'm not making money and understanding how to reduce that cost of acquisition, then my company's not making money and we're not growing. And there was a point there that we grew so fast, we actually had to stop the growth of the company. We had to stop marketing. I turned off social media for 6 months because we could not keep up with the growth for the upside.
That's amazing.
Mm.
Do you think that's because you came into it at the right point in time? If you came up with the idea now, for example, and launch plan now, would it be very, very different, or is it all in the execution?
Part of business is timing and making sure you're on the front of the curve. So I could see it. I was a little bit delayed. I had some tech issues, like, story of our lives, getting it out. So I was probably about 6 months to a year late. Mm-hmm. And had I been first, though, I would have been first to market. But there are some advantages and disadvantages. I actually truly believe now, going through what I've done, is that it's actually an advantage to be a second mover. because people are aware and they're looking and they're educated. So you're not having to waste money on SEO or blog posts educating. So the education piece is done. So you come up and clean up with a better product and you're away, which I believe is what we've done. So had I done it now, that there are copycats and people ripping off the ideas, and but again, you can't replace quality in content. There's, exactly. And if you're in it for the money, you're never going to make it.
No, and it's all about the execution and the people behind it too. Yeah. So you mentioned that you work with your husband, mm-hmm. and I know Timmy well, and I know the packages he gets to the office and our little jokes. But Tim was in corporate also, and you convinced him to come and work with you, not for you, I'm going to say.
Thank you. It's a component of contention.
How did that all happen, and how is it working with your husband every day?
Oh my gosh. So he was in corporate finance, right? And I'd come from a finance background, so we could talk shop a little bit, but then I kind of went completely left field and I'm like, hey, look at this F and this and growth marketing and all of these things. And he had no idea. We had nothing to relate on. And then next minute, I'm doing 18 hours a day. I'm doing online courses with American people from Silicon Valley to try and catch up to what they knew, because I didn't know it existed. But over there, there's this whole ecosystem. And I was 10 years late to the party. So I'm like trying to learn and speed read and just absorb, and I became obsessed. It's probably a founder trait, that whole like obsession thing. Absolutely. So like I felt it just take over my life. When he's like, can you like not work this weekend? I'm kind of sick of you working. Anyway, it got to the point where my customer service, because I was, and this is a mistake that I made, I didn't hire early enough, and I was having to do everything, including customer support. We're at like 100,000 users, and it was still me doing the product design, customer support, building the website, writing the blogs, doing the photography, doing the social media, like all of it. It was still me. And then when I crashed, he had to pick up the support emails, and he could see.
Oh, so he jumped in on your behalf.
Yeah, pretended he was me. So fired him a few times, then rehired him because I couldn't do it. But he had to pretend to talk like me. Apparently that's hard. And then after a while, so I went through a night school called Alavaco in Sydney, and they taught me how to pitch and how to set up my IP and my trusts and things to make sure my company was safe. Right. And I met a mentor in there, her name's Julia Wells, and now runs Founders for Founders. And she invited me to move to Silicon Valley for 3 months. So I actually last year had to say to my husband, who was working, and say, I'm going to move to America for 3 months, and you can't come because you're working, and there's no way you can get out. See ya.
I can't imagine that would have gone down well.
He was actually super supportive.
Really?
Like, I'm telling you, like, this man is amazing. He's like, you can't say no to the opportunity. I'm like, exactly. So I packed up my stuff and moved to America for 3 months by myself. And I hustled my way around all these co-working spaces to meet more founders and more people like me that I could relate to. And then next minute, in the last year or two, I've been back every 3 months. Like, I'm leaving in 2 days' time for another 3 months. So I'm glad that I got to catch up with you. For mentors, I have advisors over there now. But what happened was, I said to my husband one night, I really want to go back to America for again, but I miss you so much and I really struggle with it and my mental health suffers. So at what point do you look at this as a serious business? And he started seeing my numbers, and the financials were growing 25% month on month and had been for a year. And there was no sign. It was just like continually just growing, and we were like moving up the App Store rankings. It was crazy. And so all of his people in his life were like, how's Christy's little project, little app going? And he started to be like, well, actually, it's not
little
like
project.
A little project
Come
anymore.
On.
And so I got to the point where I was getting overloaded, and he's like, okay, let me step in and help. So he was looking at the financials. And he saw it. And as soon as he realized that my business could support the both of us, pay rent and probably hire staff, he went to soccer, and it was like a Monday night. He came home. He'd just got a promotion at work that he'd been waiting 2 years for. And he comes home and he goes, you know what? I'm in. I'm quitting. And the next day, he literally quit his job and joined the team. He's like, oh, I'll just come in and clean up some of your alts for 3 months. It's been a year and it's still like...
Plan wouldn't be planned without him though. He's such an integral part of your team now, isn't he?
He's COO
wonderful.
Now.
He
and is. So I get to focus. Now I get to... My skill set is focusing on the product and doing internal analytics, and I'm the product designer and running that side of the team. And now he manages all the ops in the business. So it's a clear divide. And working with him is actually quite fun because we get to see each other, but we never work on the same projects. I actually see him probably less now. And so you've got to like find hobbies to do together that don't involve like talking about your child. Yeah, because you go out for dinner, you talk about your children, which is our business. So like try and find things that aren't. And yes, we roller skate.
Yeah, so this is a unique lady in front of me. Oh, she's actually come from 2 hours of roller skating class tonight.
Artistic roller skating.
Artistic roller skating. And you've roped your husband into that too.
Well, no, he just saw how much, I'm not going to say that, he saw how much fun I was having. And he's like, I actually want in on that. And next minute, he tried it, and he's really open-minded because most guides would be like, I'm not roller skating.
Yes.
And so with him, I call it quad skating. It's not roller skating. It's quad skating.
Quad skating.
Quad skating. Right. He started with a skateboard, and then when he realized that my roller skates were literally two skateboards under each foot, he was like, I want to try that. And he's actually really good. I hate him.
He's good at everything, that man. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes here, and I mean, we've covered so much here, but I know you said your toughest moment was when you were on the floor and that was the inception of Plan. Mm. What was your toughest moment in business to date?
It'd definitely be, and this is a lesson that I would tell anyone. So I don't like to say I'm a non-technical founder because that focuses on my faults. So I am a product founder, right? But what that does mean is that I don't have a huge understanding of the tech side. So for example, I don't know how to build an Amazon service across, Plan's in 160 countries, so we actually now have 7 servers, but I don't know how to build that architecture. I need to be taught. Do I need Elastic Beanstalk? Do I need this? Do I need that? Like, I didn't know. And I think that was one of my biggest mistakes, was that not understanding the architecture of what a tech company does. I just thought a developer does all the developy things. And then you start to realize that they're all different. And they're like, when someone says, oh, yeah, I could probably help with that, they mean, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right? So you learn that the hard way.
It's actually so interesting because I learned that too. You think a developer just does everything, but we have a front-end developer and a back-end developer and a DevOps guy. And so everything is specialized and there's not really one person that does everything.
No, like we had our website hacked on Friday night. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was a great night.
What happened with the website when you went on to Plan on Friday night?
Oh, my God. I went to stand-up comedy night, which is also an escape, and 2 in the morning because I check Slack because I don't sleep. And then one of our plugins had been hacked. We needed better security. Another lesson. Like, this is 3 years in. Like, there's always a lesson. I didn't have the best security on my WordPress website. A plugin got hacked. And all my website got redirected to a porn website, and then they injected malicious code and then pulled down some PNGs, put code in those, back in the website. And I'm like, had you just had better porn, you wouldn't have to steal my traffic. Like, get away. But anyway, it's an all-nighter with my team. I have a team in Canada now that look after my website. So we got stripped it all out, fixed it up, got the security back in, and then fixed it. But, I mean, that's 50,000 to 100,000 people getting, like, Russian porn when they go to my website.
Not ideal. And why do people, I suppose they hack your website because of the traffic?
Yeah, there's a lot. We get about 1 million unique visitors a month now. So that's why I need an entire team to look after it. It's become, like, this wonderful asset in itself. But the reason that it's become so huge, it's actually in the top 5,000 websites in the world now, but the reason that it's become so good is that the content that we put out 3 times a week is stuff that people would pay for. And because my product and I am about, I want to help you, I want to teach you, the brand voice is like literally, this is what I tell my staff, or I don't like to call them staff, my team, that you are sitting in New York on a rooftop apartment having a cocktail with your best friend. You've got fairy lights, there's like jazz music playing, and your friend says to you, I'd really love to understand how that works. Like, how are you going to explain that to your best friend? And that's how we talk. There's no teacher language. There's no this. There's now do this. There's no, like, literally, there's no teacher language. And it's pure a friend helping a friend, and we do 3 a week. And so it's just grown organically.
And so it's really relatable for the average person.
Yeah.
So people should sign up to your newsletter then. Give yourself a plug here.
Yeah, go for it.
So if we, what's one piece of advice you would give to someone who was wanting to start a business? Say a young person who's coming out of university or a college and they had an idea and they didn't really know if they should do it and you're always questioning yourself. What's your advice?
My advice is that start researching about what that type of business would look like. Like, as an example, I have people coming to me and saying, how do I build an app? But if I had the opportunity to talk to an app CEO, That's the last question, because I should have already done that research. Mm-hmm. I should be asking something like, what's your best acquisition channel? Like, you get to that point where you start understanding a bit more. So it's kind of just get started, get going, and ask heaps of questions and do a lot of self-learning. That's for me personally. But the special thing about leaving the house and meeting people, so I have like literally the quote on my home screen on my phone is, when you leave the house is when the magic happens. And that's because when you get out and you start talking to people, you light up the magic of what you're doing in other people, and you start to get connected to other people that enjoy your space and your energy, and you just don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm going to give you an example here. I met somebody who was starting to build an app and came to me for help, and she asked some really amazing questions, and I was like, I would love to stay in touch with you. And her and I remained really close. She's in LA, and now 3 years on, we both have these successful apps where I now go to LA and I keynote at her events, and like I help her, and we have each chat like every few weeks and become advisors on each other's platforms. So as soon as you start putting it out into the world, you'll find that the energy just gets attracted. Maybe a bit woo-woo, but...
No, I believe that too. I'm a big believer in sharing your ideas, because I feel like in Australia especially, there's a culture of people not wanting to share what they're thinking about or trying to execute on because the fear of someone else stealing their idea.
And if it's a good idea, it's going to get stolen.
Or it's probably already out there. Yeah. But I like to tell people it's all in the execution. So it's how you execute. And when you speak to people about your idea, they might be able to help you or introduce you to someone. And so I'm a big advocate for talking about it and like getting it out there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what you've said is very similar to that. And I think it's a really important lesson. So thanks for joining us tonight, Christy. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Nice to see you again.
So great to see you. And I'm so excited for you and for the future of Plan, and have a great trip to America.
Thank you. I'll see you in 3 months.
Thank you for listening to Enya Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook or Instagram. If you have any questions or feedback, please contact us at www.enya.foundation.